So in today's homily, what I'd like to talk about is ultimately getting to the question of why do I need to go to a priest for confession? Because today's gospel really addresses that question and fills in the gaps that might be there in case you don't understand that. But to get there, I need to first talk about the Holy Spirit and his place in our lives. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism, which I think for most of us probably doesn't mean a whole lot because we're not conscious most of the time of the Holy Spirit, although he is operative in your life, if he's there. And see, that's the thing. For a lot of us, we forget that we can possibly grieve the Holy Spirit that we received in baptism. Paul, in fact, instructs us in Romans not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And the way that we grieve the Holy Spirit is by way of sin. We can offend God in such a way that he departs. And in another place in the Bible, we're told in the Book of Wisdom that the Spirit does not dwell within a body under sentence of death. Which makes sense because the Spirit is the Spirit of life. Death and life are like oil and water. They can't coexist. So if my body, due to sin, is under sentence of death, then the Spirit doesn't dwell within me. That just makes perfect sense from the Book of Wisdom. So the Spirit is the Spirit of life, and not simply biological life, which takes us 70 years, 80 if we're strong, but eternal life. It brings us into eternity. That's what the Spirit is about trying to do, is to bring us into eternal life. Now, at the beginning of Mass, maybe to help familiarize us with the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned, the world in the Scriptures over the last 2 weeks, last weekend, this week, the week before that, have had this refrain that the world doesn't know God. And the proof, I think, from our times that the world doesn't know God is it teaches you and I that God is a tyrant, that God imposes himself. He's a very controlling God, probably a little moody, somewhat unpredictable and capricious, and he wants his way all the time. Almost like describing either a spoiled baby or maybe a narcissist or something, you know? And that's not who God is. That's not who he is. And the proof of that is, if you just think of your own experience, if you're baptized, the Spirit is living within you. And you are perfectly free, as last time I checked, to sin and offend God. If he was a tyrant, you wouldn't get away with that. You wouldn't. There's no way a tyrant like Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong or Hitler or any of them would ever let you get away with crossing them. They would do you in. Stalin would send you to the gulag, Hitler to his death camps, Mao to his cultural revolutionaries who would deal with you in the secret of the woods. Last time I checked, the Spirit's dwelling within you, and you are perfectly free to offend him. And it's not like he imprisons you or sends you off somewhere or tortures you or whatever. And as a result of that, see, that's how the Spirit is. He's in your life, but it's almost as though because he's not a tyrant, we just think, well, we can just get away with everything we want. But see, that's not true. If we go to the Scriptures, we need to understand that we can grieve the Holy Spirit and we can become empty as a result of that. So, for example, if I come to Mass and I'm without the Holy Spirit, I'm going through the gestures of Mass, yes, bodily, I'm doing all the ritual of Mass, but see, inside, none of it is reaching the heavens, because it's only by way of the Holy Spirit that our acts this side of the grave go across the divide to the other side of the grave. Practically, what does that mean? Well, we recite the Our Father at Mass. It's impossible for you to pray the Our Father without the Holy Spirit. If you're empty, you can say the words, but those words are just falling to the ground here, this side of the grave. They're not reaching the heavens, because without the Holy Spirit, you're no longer in a relationship with the Father. You've fallen out of relationship with the Father. It's the Spirit that gives us this relationship, you see. So I can say the Our Father, just like an atheist can, or an agnostic, or someone who's a non-believer. They can say those words, but they can't pray them. It's impossible to pray them unless the Holy Spirit is within you. Or there's another very common mistake that we're making today, and it's the belief that we are free, and this has probably been going on at least since the 1930s, we are free to enter the bridal chamber before marriage. And that's something that's all over our culture today. Even in men and women preparing for the sacrament, they're living together and they're entering the bridal chamber. And what's happening as a result of that, if we go to Scripture and filter that through the tradition of the church and the Scriptures, is the bodies of the couple are both under sentence of death, and they've become emptied of the Holy Spirit. So that when they come to their wedding, sure, they go through the ritual of marriage, and yes, they are married, but because they don't have the Holy Spirit, they're not actually receiving the grace of the sacrament. They're ill-disposed to receive the grace of the sacrament. Apart from the Spirit, we are not well-disposed to divine things. It takes the Holy Spirit living in us to dispose us to receive holy things, like the grace of marriage, the sacrament of matrimony. But today we believe we can enter the bridal chamber and it's fine. We can go through the ritual of marriage. Doesn't matter, but it does matter. And until the couple repents, they haven't actually begun to receive the sacrament, even though they've been through it. Same thing with the Eucharist. Apart from the Holy Spirit, when you come forward to receive the holy things from this altar, St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, you're actually drinking judgment unto yourself instead of mercy, because Christ judges sin. He doesn't welcome it. Again, death and life are oil and water. If I come forward as an empty can to receive these holy things from the altar, I'm not well disposed to receive the grace from the altar. You see what I'm saying? And this is all from Scripture. This is the Bible. The Holy Spirit disposes us to holy things and the reception of holy things. And this is why it's so important for us to learn how to become familiar with this guest of our souls who opens for us the heavens, and that what we're doing down here actually has effects for ourselves and our families relative to eternity, instead of being locked in time without any access. You might say the ceiling has been cast and we're imprisoned. The Holy Spirit breaks open. He's the one that really does break glass ceilings and give us access to the eternal. So now then we come to, what do we do after baptism? We receive the Holy Spirit. When we do have occasions where we commit serious sin and vacate our soul of this guest of our soul, of the Holy Spirit. What do we do then? Well, Jesus has given us the remedy today in the gospel, where he instituted the sacrament of reconciliation. That's where you go. That's the confessional. When you come as a body under sentence of death, the only way to get your body out from under that sentence and hand it over to a body with a pledge of future glory and a promise of eternal life instead of eternal death is the confessional, where you go to confession to a priest. Now, I know Luther back in the 16th century said, that's a bunch of hogwash. I don't believe it. I'm going to go to God directly. At night, when I'm at my bed, I'm going to confess, and I'm going to deal with it there. But see, today's gospel totally contradicts Luther. Jesus doesn't hear in the gospel say, come to me directly to confess your sins. What does he do? He authorizes the 11 apostles in the upper room to forgive sins. That's what he's doing here. He says to them, as the Father has sent me, so now I'm sending you 11, because Judas had committed suicide. So we got 11 of them there. These are the apostles. And then he authorizes them to forgive sins. He doesn't authorize lay people to forgive sins in the gospel. He authorizes the apostles to forgive sins. And he says, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive, 11 apostles, they are forgiven in the heavens. Now, I'm a human being. There's nothing I say down here that affects the heavens. There's no way that I can just declare for myself, well, it's going to be different for me. I'm going to have my sins forgiven when I confess them at the end of my bed, and that'll be effective in heaven. I don't have that authority to affect change in the heavens based on how I decide to do it down here. We don't have that kind of authority because we're not God. We're not God. I'm not God. Jesus is the Son of God. He has that authority. Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven on earth and in the heavens, and whose sins you retain, they are retained. That's Jesus deciding how we regain the Holy Spirit once we've lost it through sin, by way of these apostles. We may not like that, but that's how it is. That's how he set it up. Jesus set it up this way. It's kind of like, maybe I don't like that I can't enter the bridal chamber before marriage. I don't necessarily like that, but it doesn't change because you say for yourself, but I'm going to forget that one. It'll be different for me than everyone else in the whole world since the time of the church began 2,000 years ago. It's going to be different for me. Who says? Who says? Who's given you that authority to alter these things? You see what I'm saying? A little bit of humility can go a long way when it comes to fostering the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. And Jesus gave this authority to the 12 apostles. Their successors, the bishops, bear that authority. And when I was ordained by a bishop, that authority was given to me by Christ. So that when you come to me in the sacrament, not because I'm all, into power, all this stuff, like I just am such a I'm so curious about your life that I want to know all the bad stuff about it, and I just love sitting in there and listening to gossip or whatever. I mean, that's so utterly ridiculous. No, it's because I've been authorized by Christ to forgive your sins, and they are forgiven on earth and before God. That's how Jesus set it up, and that's why you go to a priest for confession instead of your bed at the end of the day, or maybe go to someone else and you might apologize to them and say, you know, I was really wrong there, and think it's okay. But you haven't gone to God yet to apologize to Him. Only He can forgive you for that. So this is the thing. The Spirit is so vital to our lives because He opens to us the horizon to the eternal. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just like the apostles sitting in that upper room, locked. The doors are locked. We're all afraid. We're stuck in this world. We're just stuck. And Jesus comes into our midst with the locked doors and calls us to repentance, return. And the Spirit is trying to get us to the confessional so He can once again inhabit us. All of this is borne out in the prayer of reconciliation that the priest ministers to you in the sacrament. Listen to this. God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of His Son, has reconciled the world to Himself and poured out the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. It's the Spirit that forgives your sins. Poured out the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, there it is, the sacrament of holy orders, the ministry of the church. May God in the heavens grant you on earth pardon and peace. And I absolve you from your sins. The I there is not me. I'm a sacrament of Christ at that moment. The I is Jesus Christ. That's what a sacrament is. I'm a sacrament of Jesus Christ at that moment. And the word I speak, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, that I is Jesus Himself, sacramentally present in the Word that is His Word through the ministry of the church. This is how He set it up. That's why we go to a priest for confession. And this is how Catholics understand it. Now, if you understand it differently, maybe you should belong to the Lutheran Communion or to the Methodists or someone else that does it that way, because that's not how we understand it in the church. We haven't understood it that way for 2,000 years. And the fact that I might not like that I have to go to a priest for confession doesn't change the fact that that's necessary for you if you are a Catholic. And I say this primarily because it's so important for us to cultivate this guest of our soul, the Holy Spirit. He opens up the horizons to the eternal kingdom of Christ, the heavens, and the world gets so much bigger in that perspective, instead of being all locked away and hidden in the shadows. He opens us up. So, brothers and sisters, today, allow this Spirit to come into you. When we recite the Our Father, pray it. Don't just say it. When you're preparing for marriage, live out the truth of Christ and be well disposed to receive the grace of the sacrament. When you come forward for holy things from this altar, be well disposed with the gift of the Holy Spirit to receive the pledge of future glory given you from this altar. And if you ever find yourself in a place where you have come to become an empty vessel, go to confession and once again receive a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit.